turn with me this evening as the Lord will enable us to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armour of God. Put on the whole armour of God. The Christian life is a warfare. And there are many warfares in this world. The authorities today look to defeat Al-Qaeda, for example. There is a terrorist threat. There's been two world wars last century, and they were terrible wars. They were fearful wars. But there is no war like the warfare that goes on in the world and has gone on since the fall of Adam. It is that warfare that there is between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It's a warfare that takes place every year in this country and throughout the countries of the world. It's the warfare that the Apostle Paul speaks of here. And as soon as a sinner is brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes a soldier. A soldier in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. From being under the sway of the father, his father, the devil, he now is brought into an army and one with all the Christians together as an army with banners. And that warfare that the Christian is involved in is not battling for victory. I think it's a Wiseby that says, the Christian is not battling for victory. He's battling from victory. This is one warfare that although it's a warfare and though it's a battle, yet it's a battle that's already won. A battle that victory is assured. How many battles in this world, when kings would go out to battle, would they win, would they not win? That was the big question. Should they go to battle? Should they not? How many times does someone perhaps go into a court wondering, are we going to win or are we not? These are things that who knows the answer to it. But here is a battle that's already won. The battle that the Christian is involved in is a victory. The victory is already his. But he will be in that battle, he will be in that warfare all the days of his life until he leaves this world. And once he leaves this world, the battle is over. He can put off the armour that he's got on, but during this world, he needs to have the armour on. That's why we come back to this chapter in Ephesians 6. It's such an important chapter. I'm sure you've heard many a sermon on it. I've preached on it. You can preach down all the aspects, every piece of armour that's there. But it's so important because every Christian, this is not just some Christians. This is not just ministers or elders or preachers or what but that's been spoken of here. This is my brethren. He's talking about all the Christians. And every Christian will have this armour on, will need to have this armour on, because every Christian is in the battle. The question really right at the beginning is, whose side are you on? Which side of this warfare are you on? Are you on the side of the Lord, or are you not? Are you in this battle, or are you not? Well, then there are three points that we want to look at, as the Lord will enable us this evening. First of all, knowing the enemy. Secondly, wear the armour. Thirdly, call for assistance. Knowing the enemy, wear the armour, call for assistance. Let us then look first of all at the first point. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Today, as we've already said, there are there's a warfare going on against Al-Qaeda and these various terrorist groups. The army has to address that enemy. But how does it do it? What's the greatest weapon that the army has against any of its enemies today? You might say, well, we've got warships. We've got the most superior technology of planes and we've got armour. We've got all these different aspects of armour about. But, you know, the greatest weapon that the army uses today against the enemy is intelligence. Gathering intelligence is the most important thing. You need to know your enemy. You need to know who the enemy is. You need to know who Al-Qaeda is. You need to know who their operatives are. You need to know the cells that they have. You need to get intelligence of what they're doing so that you can combat. How many attacks on this country have been stopped over the last number of years? Not because of guns or tanks or planes, but because of intelligence. Intelligence is the greatest thing you can have. And Paul says that here. He says, put on the whole armour of God, you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There is your great enemy, the devil. The devil, the accuser of the brethren. Satan, the adversary, the tempter, the murderer, the liar, the lion. The one who goes about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. The one who is as an angel of light. It's the devil that is the great enemy. And look at what it says about him, how he is wily, he is cunning, he is crafty. My friend, there is nobody as wily and as crafty as the devil. You see that when he comes to our first parents in the Garden of Eden. He doesn't come to Adam, he comes to Eve. Adam had been given the command, but Eve is there on her own. How crafty the devil is. How he changes the words ever so slightly to make it sound as though that God is being bad to them in denying them. The devil is so crafty. He is wily. And you know, he can use many devices to attack God's people. Many devices. We are told that the great enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil uses the world and the flesh. The world is that which is outside of us. The devil will use that to tempt us. All the pleasures of the world, all the things that the world can lay before our eyes every single day in life. Every day you get up, there are the things of the world. There's the world. There is a godless society before your eyes every day. And that godless society will tempt you with various things, various pleasures. That godless society will frighten you, will give you a fear. That godless society is outward. And you know, that's what the devil came to the Lord Jesus with when he tempted him. He would give him the whole world if only he would bow and worship him. My friend, the same devil today, the same devil uses the world. But with us, he says there's more. It's not just the world, it's the flesh. It's the old man within. There's not only that which is without, there is the fallen human nature that's within. And the devil will play on that. Ah, how wily he is. He is able to come and get a handle of the old man and to play to the old man, to the old nature. Play a tune that will bring the old nature alive and bring the old man to the fore. And instead of crucifying the old man, he will want that old man revived and brought alive again. And he will use so many things, ways in which to do it. You think of how Job himself was tempted with his illnesses and everything and losing his daughters and his sons in one day and losing his goods in one day, losing even his wife, even tempting him, and within all of it, how powerful the devil is in bringing his temptations, and that's the enemy that we have. But the enemy is more than the devil, you see. We read of Lucifer who fell, the devil who fell in the first instance. How powerful Lucifer is, but Lucifer is not all-powerful. Lucifer's not God. Lucifer is not all-powerful, but look what he's got. He has so many assistants to help him in the way. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, the devil is not just the devil. The devil is just but the leader of this great army that is against us. It's like in the Second World War, people would say, our warfare is, we need to defeat Hitler. We need to defeat Hitler. Well, it wasn't Hitler. Hitler was only one man. But Hitler represented the evil of the SS and all the rest of it that came and covered over Europe. It was as though the war was against that one man because he represented everything. He was the head. We need to defeat Hitler. The devil is only but the head of a great army, a spiritual army that is against God's people. That army was running rife through the Gentile world until Christ came. But now Christ has came, he has cast out the devil. Christ now claims not just one nation, but all the nations of the world belonging to him, and he casts out the devil. What do we conclude from all this about the enemy, that about knowing the enemy? Well, we need to realise that our enemy is a spiritual enemy. It's not just flesh and blood. God's people are against a spiritual army, and that is a powerful spiritual army. Let us never underestimate the power of the devil and the army that we have to fight if we are God's people. Let us never underestimate the wiles of the devil. He's like a lion. He's like an angel of light. He is like the great accuser of the brethren. He is our adversary. He has been a murderer from the beginning. And he is a liar from the beginning. My friend, what an enemy we have this evening if we are God's people. We are in this dark world. We are in this world. And yet we have a great enemy in the devil. And we're shown here the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. It wasn't only that one devil that fell. Many other angels fell with him. And that is the enemy that's your enemy this evening and that seeks to defeat you this evening. But that brings us then to the second point. If we need to know our enemy, the second thing is we need to wear the armour. We need to wear the armour. How gracious the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the head of this army. He is our head. He is our king. And as a king, he provides everything that you need for this warfare. He doesn't leave you and ask you to go out into this world as a soldier of the cross without providing you all the necessary means that you may overcome the devil. He has overcome. He has overcome the world. He has overcome the devil. He has overcome all this. And now he provides all that you need. If you think of all the weapons that the devil will bring against you, if you think of all that the devil has at his disposal, the world, Every day you get up and you see the world, every day presented to you is a godless society providing and tempting you with all the things that this world can offer. My friend, that's a mighty temptation. That's a mighty weapon against you. And then here's those who will seek to close your mouth. If you raise anything against this, they will close your mouth. They will put you in prison. What a fearful thing that is. Paul knew about that, because look at what he says in verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Paul knew what it was to even be in bonds himself, to be chained to a Roman soldier, to be imprisoned. Paul knew what that was all about. So the devil has all these, and left to ourselves, we could never overcome that. You could never overcome the world and the flesh and the devil. It is so powerful, and the rulers of the darkness of this world and the principalities and powers and high places are so powerful that you would never be able to overcome it except through the armour that the Lord Jesus Christ provides for his people. He never asks you to go out to this battle without providing for you. And look at this as well. You need all of that armour. You need all of that armour. He says, put on the whole armour of God. If you're going out into a battle, you don't leave some of the armour in your locker. That's fatal. You've got to put on the whole armour. You've got to put on all these pieces of armour. We need to always remind ourselves, continually remind ourselves, how we need to put on the whole armour of God. Not our own armour, not the armour of a church, not the armour of a priestly sect, not the armour of a denomination. You need to put on the armour of God. And that armour of God has been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that you might be able to stand. How can you stand in a battle if you don't have all the armour on? If you don't have the helmet on, then you can't be standing. Your head would be down. If you don't have the breastplate on, then if you don't have the shield, you can't stand. If you don't have shoes that are appropriate, you won't stand. You see, much of what is going in, we can see later on, when you come to the shield of faith. So wonderful, because a shield in the Roman army with a shield, if you've ever seen the way they do it, the shields would go up like that, and they would unite shield to shield, so that the whole army was together as one, and they would march forward with the shield. And it didn't matter what was thrown at them. That was a fearful thing, to see the Roman army with their shields one against another, built in such a way that they would be united to each other and they would come forward as an army. But when Paul is speaking here, he says, it's not just when you go forward as an army, it's when you're in close combat. You need to have all this armour on, because you need to be able to stand. You need to be able to have close combat with the wiles of the devil and with all that he will throw at you. It's close, it's personal, it's close combat. So what do you need to have? Well, you need six things. You need to be girt about with truth. Your loins girt about with truth. It's a girdle. It's like a girdle that was on. And when it was on, it held everything together. Held the sword and everything. Everything was girt about with truth. That's the way the Christian needs to be. You see how it's not a sword that, physical sword and physical armour. It's character. It's truth. You need to be girt about with truth. It's the character. To be true before God, to be true before your fellow believer, be true, truth before the world, and to be known as one girt about with truth. It's all about character. Christian character, Christian truth. To be girt about with truth. To have such a character that it even disarms the enemy. You can stand it. Remember, just talking this week about one of the elders, and I say this not to make any point about the year 2000 and that, but the year 2000, many were purported to be suspended, and one elder was suspended in his congregation as he left and went with the Free Church continuing. And he was suspended synodally like all the rest of us were. Do you know what the congregation he was leaving did? They should have, he was suspended, they shouldn't have even recognised him. They actually had a collection for him. When he left, it was as if he was saying farewell. They had such a regard for this man. They knew that this man was such a godly man, an honourable man. I knew this man. And he was. You couldn't but say that this man was girt about with truth. He was such an honourable man that even the congregation he was leaving gave him a presentation. Isn't that wonderful? To be girt about with truth. But not only girt about with truth, but having on the breastplate of righteousness. If you ever see the Roman soldiers from the chin down here down to his waistline, at the front and back there was this metal breastplate. The Christian has to have worn the breastplate of righteousness. That's the righteousness of Christ. That he has to have the righteousness of Christ. The devil can't do anything about the righteousness of Christ. The Christian has a breastplate of righteousness, and that protects his heart, protects everything. The breastplate of righteousness. Not only the righteousness of Christ, but living righteousness. Living righteousness. His own righteousness. That is, he seeks to be righteous, to be right with God. Covered in the righteousness of Christ and his own righteousness as he seeks to be right with God. But then there are the shoes, the gospel of peace. What a sure footing a soldier needs to have. If we try to stand in anything other than the gospel of peace, then we're not sure-footed. The good news of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You stand on that ground. The soldiers used to have sandals on, and they had to have sandals that when they stood and they went into combat, even close combat, they had to make sure that their feet were solid in the ground. You imagine going into battle and you're slipping. Your feet are going from under you, slipping. You'll soon have a blow upon you. But if you are shod with the gospel of peace, then you will have a sure footing. Imagine going out into the battle, even coming to those that are coming to you with the battle and saying, there are terms here of peace, you know. Going out into the world with the gospel and saying, you're at war with God, but there are terms of peace. Repent and believe the gospel. Have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace with God other than the peace that comes through the gospel. As a war, as a soldier of the cross, you are able to go out and publish the terms of peace. Even as you come as a soldier, you're coming with terms of peace, and you have to have the shield. It's the fourth thing. We need to be the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, shod with the gospel on our feet, but we need to have the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Think of the shield that the soldiers used to come with, and they would hold it up like that in front of them, and when the enemy would fire a dart at them, they would set these darts on fire, and then they would fire them at them, but the fiery darts could never penetrate the shield of faith. So the believer needs to have faith. So he needs to live by faith. Not just have a saving faith, but he needs to live by faith. And as he lives by faith, so it is that he's able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. And it's here that they tell you that these shields were made to lock together so that one by one, not only you would, when you came forward and into close combat, you would be able to have close, but you would be able to be with, you'd be like an army with banners, because you lock the shield with your fellow soldier, soldier to soldier, soldier to soldier, and they would cover themselves with these shields, and as they move forward, the fiery darts would bounce off them and it wouldn't hurt them. What an army. But you see, you have to have the weapon as well. You need to have the sword. We are told here, taking the shield of faith and the sword, you need the helmet of salvation. Sorry, the helmet of salvation. The helmet, you need the shield and then you need the helmet. You need to protect the head, don't you? It's not just, the Christian is not just about it's his mind. He needs to keep his mind. And how is the best way to keep your mind? But to read the gospel of salvation, to fill your head with the knowledge of Christ, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. Keep your mind by the knowledge of Christ. That's the best antidote that you have against the devil when he comes, to have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you need to read your scriptures. That's why you need to know your scriptures. That's why you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as he's revealed in the scriptures, because that's the helmet. That protects your head. If the breastplate of righteousness protects your heart, your helmet protects your head. But you need the sword as well. That's the sixth, isn't it? We need truth. We need righteousness. We need the shoes. We need the shield. We need the helmet. But you need the sword. Sword that they had was a short dagger for when you would come and the attack, you would be able to have the sword that would repel the enemy and kill the enemy. Peter had a sword when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, but it's not that sword. The Lord says to Peter, put your sword up. That's not the sword that the believer uses. The sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. My friend, that's why the Word of God is so important. That's why we need to know what the Word of God is. That's why I stand by the authorized version of the Scripture, because we know it's a terrible thing when you don't know what the Word is. Maybe it's here, maybe it's there, maybe it's in this version, maybe it's in that version. There's nothing that the devil wants more than to have a sword that is blunted, or a sword that you don't know whether it's the blade is there or whether it's not. Is this verse there? Is that verse not there? My friend, the God preserves his sword intact. We believe surely that God has preserved his word in the Textus Receptus and has given it to us in the authorized version. I remember when I was in Arran, Jehovah's Witnesses came to the door and the NIV. Why? Because they knew that they could attack the word of God. God, what can you have more important than the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? And you use that and you wield that. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is written. It is written. Not, it might be written, or, well, maybe this is there, maybe it's not there. That's what the devil wants you to say. Jesus says, it is written. We can have confidence that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we need to wield that when the devil comes. We don't wield a physical sword. It's a spiritual sword by which we defeat the enemy. And that brings us to the third point. If we are going to wear the armour, the third thing is that we need to call for assistance. You see, we can have all that armour on. We can have the truth. We can be girt with truth. We can have a breastplate of righteousness. We can have the shoes of the gospel of peace. We can have the shield of faith. We can have the helmet of salvation. We can have the sword of the Spirit. But we need more than that. We need the assistance of God's Spirit to enable us. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Our opposition is so great that we can have all the armour, but we need divine assistance to employ it. And that's what prayer is, isn't it? Prayer is offering up to God our desires, our spiritual desires. And it's as we are in this spiritual battle, in this hostile world, that we need to call upon the Lord for spiritual assistance to overcome the devil. And that prayer and supplication needs to be in the Spirit. You see, this is a spiritual warfare. And we need to have the Spirit, we need to pray in the Spirit, and we need to be watching, and we need to, with perseverance, persevere in that prayer. In other words, as we go out into the battle, we're battling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Before our eyes are the pride of life, the flesh, the temptations of the world. But we need to have on that armour, and we need divine assistance. And how wonderful the Lord is, the head of the church is. He will never leave his people. He will hear his people cry unto him. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. And it's as the Lord's people put on this armour, with the divine assistance, calling persistently on prayer, that the Lord's people become an army with banners, conquering day by day. You become more than conquerors every day as you put on the whole armour of God and as you come in prayer seeking that divine assistance. Who is it that's able to overcome that? This may be the greatest warfare this world will ever see. The warfare that God's people have in this world against the devil, the adversary of our soul. But it's a warfare that's already decided. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And it is through that God's people become an army with banners, conquering. It's the most powerful army that this world has ever seen and will ever see. You think of all the great armies the world has seen. Going back to the First and Second World War, the power of and the might of Germany, coming even to our own day, into America, think of the power that there is in the aircraft that she has, the aircraft carriers, the submarines, all these wonderful weapons of destruction. They are so powerful. It's unimaginable in many respects to imagine the power that there is in even one submarine, nuclear submarine, or in one great destroyer roving the seas today, American, China, Britain, or some of these great planes that come in and they can hardly be detected. What an army you have, and what a force you have. And my friend, there is not one of them, not one army in this world that can compare to the powerful army that God's people are. When they have on the whole armour of God, in dependence upon the power of God himself, not even the very gates of hell can stand against that power. The gates of hell won't even stand against God, the power of God's people in this world. But you see, what we need to do is to draw on that power. We need to put on the whole armour. We need to go in dependence upon the Lord. And when we do, then nothing will stand in the way of God's people. Ultimately, they will be brought out of this world into the presence of the Lord. And at that point, they are able to put off the armour. They are able to lay down the sword. They don't need the helmet or the shield, because there is no enemy to be found. The Lord's people are one with their head, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King. There is no discordant note to be found in heaven. There is no discordant note. There is no need for a sword or a shield or anything else there. The army is one, and it is now at home with their King, victorious. Are you part of that glorious army? Are you part of that wonderful, most powerful army with banners? And will you one day lay down your weapons of warfare and enter into the presence of the King? May it be that we would all know something of what it is to have the victory in Jesus.